There's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance. Welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
That was nice.
I got the good headphones this week, so I'm just jamming.
I think that's as close as we're going to get to Zeppelin doing our theme music.
My headphones only have one ear working, so
you only get to hear half the song.
I'm a little off balance.
Sounds about right.
I can only use one side of my brain.
It's an AM radio station. It's not in stereo anyway. All right.
No, but your head is.
I'm okay. I can hear. I hear as much of you guys as I want to,
and then some.
Whatever.
Then.
So what's going on with everybody this week?
It's dry outside.
No, it's not.
Well, it quit raining.
Oh my goodness, it didn't.
You sure?
For like 10 minutes.
I thought it was supposed to.
I was driving down the highway today, and I might as well have had a boat. It was pretty bad.
I was outside a lot of today, and I was soaking wet.
Were you really?
Yes.
Did they not supply you with rain ponchos or anything?
I supplied our guys with rain ponchos, but I didn't use them.
And you suffered through yourself?
No, I'll tell you, though.
Being the example that
you are. So we've got a guy, which you guys already know, is... Are you allowed to say real names on the air?
I don't know. It's up to you. I mean,
we'll call him
Carl.
Carl. And anyway, he's great because he's. I just feel like we have our own personal Hulk with him because he will just get whatever it is done.
Smash things.
But he actually has a vocabulary and he's actually nice. He doesn't just smash things.
And he's not green.
No, he's not green, but he's huge.
Yeah, could be.
He's a big guy, but he's just a joy to work with because he works super hard and he never complains and he'll crack jokes. But he's just totally honest about how he feels about people and situations.
I got to tell him a joke today, and he laughed so hard.
Not suitable for this radio station.
I don't tell dirty jokes, but I'm not telling it because it's not a good. If you can't demonstrate, I talk with my hands, so
that's true.
It's more of a television joke than a radio joke or a live joke.
We're not on
if you
TV.
Want to come see me live in person, I'll be performing
at Sun
never,
Cafe at
never.
1435 Salisbury.
I haven't got my stand-up routine down yet, but I will eventually do that. It is on my bucket list.
All right.
And you need a bucket out there today to keep the car running.
Yes. Wow.
Get the water out of it. It was pretty good. So tomorrow we have
we have some
work getting done tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We've got a work group, two work groups coming in.
What is like it, 30?
31, 32 31 people student, plus yeah. us, so there'd be 33, maybe 34 people working, the rest of us watching.
Best survive until then.
And going to get a lot of work done. Green Tree Church coming in for they have an annual work day that they put together besides all the other stuff they do, and we're participating. Cool. I think a lot of people got scared off because of the rain. But we don't scare easy, so we're picking up another work group that got canceled off of them, and going to get a lot of stuff done in the neighborhood.
Yes,
cool.
It's going to be good.
Which makes me happy.
Yeah, because we get to participate with people who've been trying to do stuff positive, been struggling, like keeping up the community garden at the corner and helping them get that thing back in order.
We're going to spruce it up. We got some stones from another lot. We're going to move them over and trim the trees and some of the bushes.
Yeah, and that other lot was a mess, and that other lot looks good now.
Well, yeah.
It's not a lot. It's like five lots in a row right on the main drag, and it looks really good now. So, all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, nope, just the important stuff.
Wasn't there a birthday last week? Did we already talk about that? That was the week before. I can't remember.
Oh, Evan?
Yeah.
That was Bubba.
Yeah, well,
that would have been after
Saturday.
The show. Oh, yeah, my son turned one. What do you know? Hey.
Glad you caught that.
He did. He's huge. He's one. We took a bunch of pictures in the back of the F-350
truck.
Yeah,
he got into the one ton on his first
birthday.
And he
loved it. It was natural.
He did. And they played in the dirt, and they ate the dirt. And then, and we planted flowers later in the week, and he ate more dirt.
Well, you know, that's what will keep him healthy.
I saw pictures of babies eating nothing but dirt. And not just your son, but all the other girls.
He was surrounded by princesses during that ordeal.
Yeah, but they're different princesses.
Boy, they are, aren't they?
Yep. They're too smart and too vicious to be Disney princesses.
The best part for me was whenever Evan reached over to baby Naya and pulled her over and she started crying and then he started crying because he's not used to that. Usually it's his big sister and he pulls her over and she laughs and turns around and knocks him down.
She growls at him.
She's like, oh, Bubba's silly. And this time Naya cried and he did not like the fact that he made her cry.
No, which is good.
Super cute.
Josie doesn't share that.
No, Joe. Oh, I'm sorry. You're bleeding. Well, you probably should have protected yourself.
Right.
And by the way, give him my toy back.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's not our topic for this week, absolutely. Nope. The topic for this week is the world.
And being separate from it.
Yeah, it's a big topic.
It is.
Get it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be here all week. Wow. Try the roast beef.
How big is it?
It's so big.
So we're going to speak of the world in biblical terms.
Yes.
And
why wouldn't you? Otherwise, you're just making stuff up.
Yeah. Well, I do think that it's a very highly ignored topic. I think it's tossed about. I think it's like thrown out like a Nerf ball at a basketball hoop. And everybody's like, oh, who cares if we hit it or not? And nobody really takes it seriously enough to look at what the Bible says the world is and the things that it does and the things, the power that it has.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, they would be looking at it very differently.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that they do that, though, is because they know if they examine it too closely, it's going to require them to change a lot of stuff about their life.
I don't even know if they know that. Because what I've heard a lot is, and we'll get into this later, but that, you know, that overused phrase, be in the world, not of it. And I hear so many people say that, and they're like, well, you know, that's why we have to go into the world, and we have to be in there, and then that comes all these stupid, like, relevant ministries, and it's like, oh, well, we have to be, pub church, and whatever else it is, we have to, you know, get to their level and be all things to all people, or whatever.
But we don't. We need to be separate.
And so it's this over-obsession with making sure you're doing something in the world, and not at all paying attention to what it means to be unstained by it, which is what James tells us.
Right.
And you know how we are here. We like to communicate everything, not only with our voice and our mind, but with music.
Yes.
So we're going to start with that.
Yes, we are.
So, Jason, I'm going to let you talk about the music because you're the one that picked this song. I've never heard it. Well,
this is a song that Sanford wanted to play when we did our wingman show. It was just the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
It's Matt Papa, and it's What's the Difference? Where is the difference? Sorry, where is the difference? And my view on it, because I just heard it whenever he showed it to me, is that it's basically him scolding the church for being just like the world. But you've heard it a lot more, Sanford, so I don't know if you got some more thoughts on that.
It's just him basically listing out things that and saying, where's the difference? Mm-hmm. What are you doing that's different than everything else that we see?
Yeah, and he uses a lot of scripture, which is always good.
One of the things I like about our music selections is there are four of us here with different tastes in music, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how we do it. I've never heard this before,
yeah.
So I'm excited.
But well, actually, tonight is great because Sanford picked this one, Cademan's Call, which will be later. It was Mark Goodwin, Keith Green. I picked, even though any of us really could have picked that one. And Newsboys, I picked, but I got it because you had it.
That's
because
right.
I don't have any Newsboys.
Yeah.
And I was glad you picked that because I would have picked that one for this show. So anyway, let's do the first the Matt Papa song and
all right.
Go from there, Ollie.
Welcome back, guys. That was Matt Papa and his song, Where's the Difference? Right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Got any of those lyrics you want to highlight before we go on?
Oh, the whole stinking
thing. No, you can't
thing.
Do that. We just played the song.
No, well, first of all, according to this website, newreleasetuesday.com, the references, the scripture references that are contained in this, Exodus 20, Ezekiel 16, Matthew 5, Matthew 16, Matthew 28, John 14, Romans 10, 2 Corinthians 2, Ephesians 5, Colossians 1, 1 Peter 2, 1 John 2, Revelation 3. The one that I really
like the whole Bible.
The one that I really like, which I don't know if it really sums it up, but I was just where is the light, the hope you are the hope you are hoarding inside. And I was like, man, the whole salvation, your hope, that should be transforming you and pushing you beyond your own little world.
Well, and it's something that should be demonstrated and glowing.
Well, I'm going to read that passage out of James that that really, I think, references what he's talking about, and that is that the Spirit, that God jealously desires the Spirit that he placed within you. Yeah. And that's what he's trying to say, is that he put it there for a reason, mm-hmm. not for you to hoard it. All right. It's not all about yeah. you. He right. put it there because he desires to use it through you.
Yeah.
And that way you can become intimate with him.
Which goes on, like we've been talking the last couple of weeks about this, you know, personal versus kingdom gospel.
Right.
And it's just another aspect of that. It's like, yeah, you can sit on your salvation egg and hope it hatches when you die, or you can, you know, just go out and follow God to wherever he's leading you and live it with others in the kingdom.
Yeah. Clinging to your Bible, waiting for the Lord to return.
That's right.
All right, well, according to 1 John 5:19, it says, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." That literally means that it has been subjected to Satan. So the whole world, according to the Bible, is in the power of the evil one. To know this truth is knowledge, but it's not a complete picture, because we see in Revelation 11:15 that this subjection or this condition is going to change someday, because it says there, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" So in between now and Revelation 11:5, whenever you believe that is or was or will be, what is our relationship with the world supposed to be? That's the question we're going to talk about today.
Well, I think one thing to note, because we're going to be continuously just digging into that, is that that verse alone makes it very clear that there are two different kingdoms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And,
but ultimately, it all goes back to the big guy.
The big guy.
Big guy.
Big guy.
We're not talking about heaven.
No. Okay. No.
Talking about heaven.
Heaven.
horrible.
You guys should stop. What will it look like? All right. Our relationship with the world, what's it supposed to be? What will it look like? And how will we follow the clear teachings of Scripture regarding the world? I think first thing is you have to look for the clear teachings of Scripture mm-hmm. regarding the world. I don't right. think a lot of people go and dig that up and say, yeah. what is this thing, the world? And, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that are made. So I want to lay out some of the clear teachings of Scripture regarding the world and what is the world. First of all, 1 Corinthians 2:6 says that the world has wisdom. There's a wisdom of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the world has its own God. Hmm. Luke 16:8 says that it has children. What is this sounding like to you? James 1:27 says that we can be stained by the world. So how does it look for you to be stained by the world? How would you tell when someone's stained by the world? Because a stain implicates something that's visible.
See, right. Go to that verse, because it's like
1:27.
Also, no, I the think. James.
Yeah, I got two different ones I'm about to do. You want James 1:27? I can do it. What do you want me to read? I'm right there.
Well, good, because I can't.
I'm right with it. You. It's right after.
Because my son took it out.
You know, so the other thing about a stain that I think is important to note is that it also implies that something's not supposed to be there.
Correct. Oh, yeah, and it's impurity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so it says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world," which is a very frequently quoted scripture, but if nobody like stops and says, okay, what is the world? What does it mean to be stained by it? What would it mean to be unstained by it?
Right.
How can that happen? Because otherwise you're just flying blind. And I think he really shows it's important, because he says this is what pure and undefiled religion is. It's this.
Right. And I think that book of James spends a lot of time talking about real religion, talking about the world, being stained by the world, faking things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what James is talking about. Being tossed about without, like a ship without a rudder, mm-hmm. you know, a tongue that can't be controlled as a fire, all these different things that are talking about behavior and how they're connected to salvation. You know, that's why some people along the way of history, like Martin Luther, didn't think the book of James should be in the Bible, mm-hmm. because he thought it was a contradiction of grace. He thought that it put too much emphasis on works. Hmm. But I'm glad a lot of people disagreed with him, because I just think
some people, it's harder to get their attention.
Yeah, that's right. And this was written by the brother of the Lord.
Right.
So I think he might have had a little bit of understanding of what went on.
Well, me and Sanford have talked about this, because we, you know, a while back, you know, we all got together and we're like, well, let's talk about doctrine, what we think is kind of essential stuff. And there's some stuff that appears contradictory as far as grace and works goes in Scripture and faith. But that's what I think it is. I think it's God. He's telling you the deeper truth, and then he's telling you something to kick you in the rear when you need to be kicked in the rear.
Right. And the deeper truth is that if you have a real saving faith, it produces works. That's all James is saying. Mm-hmm. So James 4:4 starts out with a great greeting. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You would think that every Christian that reads that would really want a clear understanding of what it means to be friends with the world. Mm-hmm. Because why would you want to have friendship with something that opposes you and make yourself an enemy of God who is for you?
Right.
Yeah.
So continue on in 5. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Right? Those three verses right there, you could spend a week on them. Mm-hmm. Just because of what's said, there's a world that's an enemy, that being friends with it makes you an enemy of God, that the scripture speaks for a purpose. God desires the spirit that he put in you, and he gives grace, greater grace to those, I think, who oppose or stay away from, be unstained by the world. And he's opposed to the proud. So to me, he's linking pride with being a friend of the world in some way in that passage of scripture.
Right.
Which for me, just kind of, I'm always brought back to Babylon whenever I think about pride, because that's what it was. And we talked about that, in our second show, about what are we resisting? It's like that was a thing built with bricks, the work of man's hands, all about their pride to make a name for themselves. And I think any time that you encounter pride or Babel or Babylon or those ideas, it's like it always goes back to that, of that original decision to just say, nope,
now let me
stay away, God. I got this covered.
Now let me blow your Bible study minds. Okay, everything you've ever learned, just blow it right out the door. Because I just read you three verses. He's talking about you being adulterous, about being friends with the world, being an enemy of God, about the fact that he desires the spirit in that he put in you, which means that if you're in this condition, you're resisting the spirit. You're resisting yielding to it, which is what he desires for you to do. Mm-hmm. And that he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The next verse, 7, says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many times have you heard that in the context of temptation to sin?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not the context. The context is you resist the devil by humbling yourself before God, yielding to his spirit and being separate from the world.
Yeah, because usually people don't quote the first part of that sentence.
They don't.
They just say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It's like, okay. But it says submit to God.
Right. That's the key. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist by doing that, you're resisting the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Yeah, they take that in that context of resisting temptation, but it's like they don't resist the devil in the rest of the areas of their life.
Right.
When they want.
Well, let's continue on and see if that's really the context, Mark. I mean, here.
Yeah.
He says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded."
Yeah.
He's obviously talking about getting separate, being consecrated, because that's what consecrated means, is to be separate for a purpose. So that's James 4:4. 2 Peter 2:20 says that the world can defile us, which I think was made clear by that passage. And before we go on, because the next passage we're going to get into, we got to break down a little bit, I think we should go to our first commercial break.
All right.
What do you think?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I was born into a system constructed for failure. It's a sinking ship being manned by drunken sailors. An escape artist behind the bars of a jailer. An asthmatic attack and they withhold the inhaler. If a shoe doesn't fit, what good is a tailor? In the midst of this crisis, please cancel the gala. Without a symphony, there's no need for a prelude.
Like, did you hear there's a new Christian single site on the internet? It's designed to make it easier for you to find your soulmate.
Pshaw, I didn't know that. What's it called?
It's called Keep It Single. Keep It Single works like no other Christian dating site in the world.
What makes it so unique?
When you go to any other Christian dating site, there may be thousands of losers who never have a chance of having a relationship. And there's always these trolls, like, posing as Christians just to, like, you know, get a chance at dating. Keep It Single's there to help you out, bro. Here's how it works. All you do is sign up for a free Keep It Single reporting account. Now, just add the names and profiles of all those perpetual losers to the Keep It Single site. Keep It Single will have them permanently banned from every other Christian dating site on the planet. Eventually, only the losers and trolls will be able to connect with each other on Keep It Single. Genius, right?
Well.
Well, With fewer profiles to choose from on my favorite Christian dating sites, I might just find that perfect mate, and it'll be easier for quality Christians to find me. After all, I'm not looking for more choices. I'm just trying to find God's match for me.
Okay, but...
By eliminating the obviously wrong people, I do me and the next person a favor.
Yeah, but what if someone signs me up on Keep It Single?
Like, just tell them that you're dating Jesus right now. Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
You're gonna have to shout over that jam.
I don't need to. I'm letting the jam speak for me.
Oh, she let it go on a little longer. That was nice.
There we go.
Because she must be getting tired of hearing Mark.
Thanks, Ollie.
Or she really does care about us, guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's pretty interesting that what the word for church is an ecclesia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ecclesia. Ecclesia. And it means the called out ones.
Yeah, of course it does.
What do you think Jesus is talking about? Well, I'm calling you out, but I'm not calling you out of anything.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I'm nothing. Calling you out of the world. Come on.
But you can still do whatever you want in the world as long as you're not of the world.
Which nobody defines. No, I mean, really,
what does that
don't.
Even mean?
What does that mean? To be in the world and not of the world if you're doing everything the world does.
Mm-hmm.
You're pursuing everything that it pursues. You're valuing everything it values.
But you get to go to heaven at the end, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe.
So what you're saying is that everybody's staying away from the definitions.
Yes,
so that they don't have to be held accountable.
Okay, when you I'm not saying that's their motivation because I don't know what their motivation is. What I'm saying is, though, that when you define, then you have to answer for that. There is accountability in definition. Sure. So if you're going to define what it is that you have to be in and not of, then you're going to have to live by that. Otherwise, you're what? You're a
hypocrite.
That's right, hypocrite. And we're going to get that T-shirt going. That no hippo T-shirt.
No hippos.
I remember like. Just when I was growing up in youth group or whatever, I just, everybody around me was, instead of figuring out what it means to be called out, they were all concerned about what can I get away with? Like, how much of the world is too much?
Common practice.
You know what? When the spirit comes
PG-13
into
PG-13 is okay, but R is right out.
You can get a tattoo as long as it's only on your foot.
Or that it's God-honoring in some way.
Right. If it has a Bible verse, it's totally okay.
Or a cross.
Whatever.
And as long as you pierce the correct ear, you're good.
The only way I've had any motivation or power to escape the world is when the spirit just comes in.
So. Yeah, because I don't think it has anything to do with tattoos or piercings or...
No, it really
what
doesn't.
What movie you're watching, it has to do with what your heart desires and where it's at.
Right.
We're going to get into that. So, but one of the things I want to point out, it's in 1 John chapter 2, that there are some things listed that are said to be of the world. So we're trying to give some definition, so let's do that. Let's define according to Scripture. We don't have to guess at what the Bible means by the world.
Do
it actually tells us. Can you believe that? Can you believe it actually defines it? So here it is. 1 John 2. And we're going to start in 15. And it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." So it gives us three things there that are of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So break those down. What are they? Well, you have to, I think, look at the word that's being translated into the English. I'm not a big fan of saying, oh man, if you don't understand Greek and Hebrew, you can't understand what the Bible says. That's ridiculous, because the Spirit's going to give you understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
But these three things have meaning, okay? Lust of the flesh is just that part of us that's enticed to sin. So if you're feeding that fleshly desire with things that are in the physical creation, you can bet you're participating in things of the world.
Yeah.
That's what they are. Now, the lust of the eyes I find to be very unique, because there's a metaphorical meaning that I think best fits this passage, and that is that the eyes are here referring not to the eyes of your sockets in your physical eyeball that's in your eye that you see through, but it's referring to the eyes of the mind, which is the faculty for knowing. So I think whenever you give yourself over to that lust of knowledge, that I think that becomes part of the world, because the world strives after the lust of knowledge, and the Spirit gives wisdom. And there's a huge difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Right.
Because knowledge without wisdom is useless. Wisdom is application. Yeah, right. It's exactly what it is. And then the third thing is this boastful pride of life is presumption, that trust in the stability of earthly things. So you basically have pride in your possessions. You're like that farmer who built bigger barns, and his life was required of him, and it all went to someone else.
See, and I just love, and I don't know, I'm not going to be too literal, so don't, like, you know, take this and run with it, but God's creation, and you can debate over whether it's supposed to be whatever, but you talk about people putting confidence in earthly things, and it's like God shakes the very earth. We have massive earthquakes, and these giant mountains, it's like, oh, look at that big mountain. He just blows the top off of them.
Yeah.
And says, no, sorry, you can't.
How about economies? Greece,
yeah.
For example. You could put your faith and all your trust into your IRA or into the fact that your cars are paid for and your house is paid for and you have a lot of money stored up. But that's earthly stuff, and that fades really quickly.
Yeah.
And there are modern-day, contemporary examples of how fleeting that can be. You know, when Greece came in and just did a tax on every bank account, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's not your money anymore. It's the government's. So gone. And overnight gone. Nothing you could do about it. So I'm going to continue on. You know, I just said that it'll all pass away. That's according to the same passage in verse 17. Here's some interesting points about the world. 1 John 3:1 says that it cannot know God's children. Now, I take two things from that. One is that there's a separation there. The children of God have the ability to understand the world
mm-hmm.
through wisdom, but the world does not have the ability to understand the children of God.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that the world has the ability to know. Think about that. See, what we're describing here is a power. It's an entity. It's not just physical things. Because so far we says it has wisdom. It has its own God. It has children. We could be stained by it. We could be friends with it. It could defile us. It'll pass away. It can't know God's children. 1 John 3:13 says it can hate. 1 John 3:17 says it has goods. Apparently, if you want to know about the world, you go to James and 1 John.
Yeah.
That's pretty much true.
So the goods that it has are the things which sustain life or are considered wealth. Those are the worldly things.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one of my favorites is Galatians 4:3, because it can hold you in bondage through its things.
Hmm.
Think about that one.
Right.
How often do you know that people look at the stuff that they own and realize that it can be holding them in bondage? Right? Just ask anybody that owns a bunch of stuff that needs painted or a lot of cars.
Right.
Right, Mark?
What was it you always told us growing up? Is
curse of the working class.
Don't buy anything. Don't bring anything to this house that requires maintenance or feeding.
That's right. If it needs feeding or painted, forget it. Okay, so Ephesians 2:2, the world has a course which we can choose to walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the walk that we're supposed to choose, but we can choose to walk that way. In Ephesians 6, the spiritual warfare that's described is the forces of darkness that we're in battle with are the darkness of this world, or the forces of this world. So if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're being a friend with your enemy you're fighting with. That's kind of dumb, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Colossians 2:20, it has rules and decrees. 2 Timothy 4:10, it can be loved. Romans 12:2, it can be conformed to. 1 Corinthians 1:21, its wisdom cannot lead to the knowledge of God. How's that? I think that's why that boastful pride of life or the lust of the eyes, that faculty of knowing, that desire to know worldly mm-hmm. things is the reason that that's so deceptive is everybody wants to, you know, try to prove that God exists or try and prove things about God through apologetics or, you know, reason things out. And it's very clear scripture. Wisdom cannot lead. It's the world's wisdom cannot lead to the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Right.
1 Corinthians 2:12, it has a spirit.
Well.
John 17:21, it is the target of ministry. Now, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to set you up. And then Matthew 13:22, it causes worry.
Yeah.
And it does. The things of the world can cause you to worry a lot.
So we already talked about it, but that phrase, be in the world but not of the world, is not actually in the Bible. Looked it up. It's a loose, you know, kind of collaboration of a bunch of different themes.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure we can't make another version that it is actually in there?
Well, we could put it in Acts 29 if you want.
Oh, I didn't know if we just had to interpret differently to come up with it.
No. So, which doesn't make it necessarily not correct, right?
Yeah, but, there is truth that's not in the Bible.
Right. But what I think that does, and we've already talked about this, is that nobody wants to define, they'll throw that phrase out all the time, especially when it comes to these 20-somethings that want to be, like, uber relevant or whatever and really cool with their faith. It's like, okay, you know, great. What is the world then? And nobody's got an answer because I'm thinking about that. And so what it becomes is this really bad substitution for what the Bible does say about, which I've already explored a bunch of this stuff. But I wanted to go a little bit more into some of the other verses because, like we said, you have to actually go to the Bible and say, well, what does it say the world is or does? And what does it say about being separate from it? Otherwise, you're just making stuff up. And right. You can have your opinions and you can be angry and post really mean stuff on Facebook about it. But if it's not Jesus, then it, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Well, before you do that, let's do the next commercial break because you're about to go into a pretty long session.
Okay.
And that'll give us time to do another song later.
All right.
Before our top of the hour. So let's do that commercial break and then we'll be back to this. Questions threaten the perception of a beneficial system or pyramid scheme with its cogs and its pistons, mechanization of man, making more and more live in a miserable existence. How can so few
to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
She was letting it roll.
I know.
Jason, why don't you tell everybody what that music is?
That is Ben Pasley doing that. That specific song is called Rugged Old Hand. It's actually, we need to play it eventually because the whole song is about how, so he talks about the rugged old hand is basically Jesus reaching down into this muddy well to dig up all the dirt. And he's like, I was just fine when the water was just sitting there.
Yeah. Then he stirs it up.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
So it's a great song.
Cool.
So yeah, be in the world, not of the world.
In the world, not
in the Bible.
Not in the Bible.
Made up phrase doesn't mean it's not necessarily true. But like we said, we need to go to the Bible and see what it says. So I got some verses. Some of these we've already looked at. But one of the things, so Matthew 16:26 says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Which basically means that the world can be exchanged for your soul.
Ooh.
So don't do that. John 12:25, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So again, as you look, go to scripture and you're saying, okay, God, what's the world? What's it mean to be separate from it? It's not like he left us hanging.
Well, I think the other cool thing about that scripture is that he's equating your life, like self, with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you skip that first one?
Because we already talked about it.
We did.
We went into depth on that one.
Okay, go on.
Isn't that the what you read?
No.
Oh, it's
in
not?
James. That was one of the
ones. Oh, so it's similar.
No, I didn't cover that at all.
Okay, so Mark 4:19 talks about... Oh, yeah, that's right. It's, Parable of the Sower. It talks about worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of things.
So let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is like gold, okay?
Well, it's a good thing you didn't let us
skip it.
It's gold,
Terry. It's gold.
Oh,
you just think about, all right, my own personal life, whenever I was basically not understanding the world and living in the world and not of the world, in my own opinion, the thing that I really desired was fruitful service for God.
Yeah.
And it was always just like this carrot hanging on a stick. You know what I mean? It was like right there in front of you, but never actually materialized. And that's what this passage is telling you.
Yeah.
Is that there's something that chokes that fruitfulness out.
Mm.
And it is the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things.
Yeah. And I love that deceitfulness of riches. And it reminds me, I was listening back to our show, the one that me and you did, and we talked about the American dream. And it's like every time I think of it, I just think it's a lie that just eats people alive.
It is.
It's just the carrot. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get all your little house and all your dreams come true and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you're not, because you're engaging in an economic system that's opposed to humanity.
Right.
And so you're just
and
ground
it's not
up.
Of God. It's not God's design. Everybody, you know, a lot of people may think capitalism is God's design, but it's not.
Nope.
Just not what he did. And I'm not, you know, what he designed is not actively at work in the world today. Just look at the Old Testament. There was an economic system he designed, and nobody's using it today.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of that point was, so there was that time when I had that carrot on the stick, and just finally threw that whole towel in and just said, I ain't pursuing that anymore. Not going to worry about getting wealthy and owning stuff. And I'm going to just, let's just live and dedicate ourselves to the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now you guys know, because we have these meetings, like we're trying to get together as much as we can to figure out how do we handle all the fruit. you know, right. because we have this spiritual responsibility to all this, these people God keeps bringing us, right?
Stick it all in a dehydrator and save it for later.
Boy, we can't do that. Nope. 'Cause the end is coming. But the difference is that what I found was, okay, this is the profound part, at least I think it's profound, but then again, not everybody always agrees with me. Once I did decide that all of those things that were in the carrot that I was chasing after were not to be chased anymore, and I decided that's it, I'm done with that. Not only did I find the fruit and the abundance that God was showing me and putting, he put that desire in my heart to have that. I think he does that for everybody, that mm-hmm. we want to have fruitful service to our Lord.
Right.
But not only that, but I don't have a desire for those other things. I'm very content with what I have, but I also seem to have an abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like.
Is that the double portion? Or I don't
know. It could be. But who knows? For me, the point is this, they chase the world and the carrot is out in front of you and you never catch it. No matter how much people have, there's never enough.
No.
And that's because the deceitful.
There's desires for other things. It's like, and it will last forever.
And that's the deceitfulness of riches. Riches bring worry and things you have to take care of, and you're concerned about the economy and the uprisings and the this and the that and the other, and is it going to all be taken away from me? But when you're finally just like, boom, done, those things of the world, they don't really hold any lure to me. What I really want to do is wake up every day and feel God moving through me. Absolutely. That's what I want to wake up. Then all of a sudden, there's stuff is just there when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's why I didn't want to miss that.
No, it's good. Sorry, yeah. I just got confused because it was similar.
That's okay.
John 14:30, Jesus talking about the ruler of the world is coming and he has nothing in me.
Yikes.
That's like, which well, is, okay then, who's the ruler of the world?
I think Satan. The interesting thing.
We already
thing,
covered that. Well, we did cover.
Is that he's saying that he has nothing in him, yeah, almost nothing. As if he has to have something inside of you in order to manipulate you through what he's set up.
Yeah.
That is true, because Jesus, he had nothing in Jesus that he right. could actually use against him, even though he mm-hmm. tried.
Right.
And then later in John 16, he says, in the world you have tribulation. So he's just putting it out there. He's not saying, I'm going to make you a Superman, and you're going to be immune to everything. He says, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So he's already overcome it. And we were talking about the wisdom, how the world has wisdom. So 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, the wisdom of the world cannot know God. So despite the world's best wisdom, it cannot know him.
Right.
And later in 3:19 it says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God.
Right. So you're going to yes. do another song before we go top of the hour? Because you got about 10 minutes.
I was going to finish these out first.
Go right ahead.
So let's do
Make
that.
Make sure you got time.
I got time. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world, so again, talking about the world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Galatians 4:3, while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world, which is another good thing to look up to see what those are. Galatians 6:14, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's basically should be our attitude. And then that Ephesians 2:2, you mentioned it, but I wanted to read it. It says, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, which basically lays out that the world has a course and it comes from the prince of the power of the air, and we used to walk in it. We shouldn't be walking in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philippians 2:15 is that song that Matt Papa song was talking about. We should appear as lights in the world. We already talked about James 1:27. Peter in 2 Peter 1:4 and 2:20 talks of us escaping the corruption and the defilements of the world. So just more instruction to be separate from it. And then we already read that 1 John 1. So yeah, so now we can do the song. It's Cademan's Call. It's called This World. Mark, do you want to talk about it because you wanted to play it?
I don't really have much to say except that it's awesome.
All right.
It's a good song. We're gonna listen It'll to speak it for now. Itself. Welcome back. That was such an awesome song. I love it.
It was really short.
I know. It is. We're all still talking about what we were going to talk about next. Hey Jason, you got a couple minutes.
Did you boot up there?
I'm working on it. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst ourselves. Nobody's Whoa, listening, what so was
that?
We'll
that
be
was
okay.
my laptop moving.
It was. All right.
Sounded like robots were attacking.
Go ahead, Sanford. I know you got something besides an M&M in your mouth.
Well, I was actually, well, Jason was rattling M&Ms off all the different scripture. He mentioned 2 Peter 1:4, and I remember 1 Peter. Peter was basically always reiterating how the corruption in the world is caused through lust. And I don't know if we've read this yet. No, nope, that was the scripture.
2 Peter 1:4.
Right.
Read it.
Hey, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So he's basically saying that through God's own glory and excellence, you can have his nature, which enables you to escape that lust that's in the world.
The Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Carrolls and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church, or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.